What's up? Katlego Charlie here, and this is A Theatre Maker in Mzansi.
How are you feeling?
It's like, you know, the nerves before the show, and then when you're in the show, you're like, yo,
I'm glad we reached that point. Because all along, I'm just worried about, like, ooh, is it going to be, you know, are we going to be able to do this thing? You know, I think part of that thing of imposter syndrome that you speak about, it makes you question whether you can do something that you can do. Like, and it's like driving. It's like you drove here, but like before you leave, you're like, will I be able to do it? Can I do it again? And it's
just
like, bro,
be doing it, or should somebody else be doing it?
Did somebody else take the wheel? Jesus, please. Oh, and it's just like, bro, calm down, you know.
I also think the most important thing is to acknowledge that these are provocations. We're throwing into something. It's not to have the final answer, and that's exciting and liberating, because I think then you onto something, actually, because we can start to unpack offline, and we can do, and online we can continue these conversations even after I'm alive.
Okay, there's Tony with his question or his comment. Collaboration needs money. Exploration needs money. How do we take care of people while trying to free ourselves creatively? I don't want to engage artists to collaboration without money.
Well, I wonder, that sentence that says, how do we take care of people? We should strive to not have anyone who needs to be taken care of. We should strive for spaces where we are all taken care of, you know, so that in the collaboration, in the space, we can confidently apply ourselves. So for me, I'm like, at Basa, there's a thing where we know there's like in kind and in cash kind of exchanges. I'm mostly interested, especially right now when there's not a lot to go around, what that in kind kind of exchange looks like, the mapping of the assets that we are bringing into the room. Our main framework for almost all our workshops is something called asset-based community development, along those lines. And it's about mapping the assets that don't require us to spend money in that collaboration. It's identifying that I have a space, you have the equipment. I have the connection, you've got the knowledge, and using that as a point of departure. Of course, there comes a time when we need to buy the coffees. And I think Faniso had posted a thing where she was like, where's the coffee station? And we were all just like, is that like the norm? So starting with the things that, bringing the coffee ourselves first, and then working towards then having enough money to buy the coffee. So I absolutely understand. And I think that the intention is to get to a place where the value in that collaboration is not solely the economic value initially, and we connect at that level, and we build towards that. And I think that's how thanks started, right? We didn't have a budget. There wasn't like a starting budget. There was talent, there was passion, and there was, you know, resources and networks that we brought into the team. Eventually, we started making money, and that money could be poured back into the collaboration. And we were all pooling and bringing from our own different. Yes, it's hard. It's hard initially, but eventually you start to build, because even the people who are going to support that collaboration see that you care about it first and foremost, and therefore they can pour their money because they can see that you are committed to it. But secondly, you start to generate interest, audiences, attention. That's not necessarily the end goal, but through that, you are then able to monetize on that. And eventually then nobody would need to be taken care of. We would all be taken care of. And I know that this industry, it's hard because it's like a passion, it's like a season, a season, a nene, a tusane,
a spambane,
guys. Mara, we should bambanana. with a plan in mind of siyabambana manje because siyenzana. Again, the why. Why are we coming together? What are we hoping to achieve? And are we achieving it? Are we still in line with the ikigai? And then siyazi ukuthi siyaphusha.
Oh, yes.
And hopefully
ikigai.
Later we can see the... I'm not even explaining it properly, but yeah.
But I think we do get it. You're saying later on we can see that?
Then we can see the fruits, and the fruits are not always just financial. They can be financial. There can be so many other fruits that we see, and those start to open new doors for that combination of people.
So on that vein, Momo says, you know, sometimes it's just about being on the same page, honest and open communication at all times, and being accountable. And I think, you know, any independent collaboration that has lasted on that basis, you know, like being clear from the start about what's possible and what isn't, and then moving forward with what each of us can bring to the table, and then showing up in the way that we said we would, you know.
And that's why I emphasize that point, Katlego, ya gore, the why. Why are you in this collaboration? If you're here for the fame, be clear, Chan. Yabo? If you're here for the money, also be clear. But if you're here for a combination, then also be clear. Then we can move in that way. But if you're here for the fame and you're saying you're just here for the passion, then there's something.
We're not here for the same thing.
And then you start to see the cracks, right? Because you were speaking about evolution. As we evolve, as our interests change, let's still check in with each other. Are we still wanting to do this together? And are we still wanting to do it in the same way? Are we able to show up in the way that we were showing up pre-COVID? And is that the case now? So having those conversations again. Momo also makes a good point about like... we have to make money, but it's not going to come from the art. And that's the thing. Part of your strategic plan should be what must come from the art, what else could come from what we are creating, and what else could we diversify from this combination of assets that we could then exploit. Sometimes it's not the, like, for example, it probably won't be your theater piece, but it might be your talent that gets you onto a film show that makes money for you.
Sure.
A film show, that's this. Onto a film, or somebody sitting in the room and you have a conversation about this thing that you're able to do. Are you able to transpose it or use it or adapt it into a corporate space or into a school setting? So it's exactly that. But for me, I'm very also strict about having that plan and being intentional about it. It's that thing of like luck being a combination of preparation and
opportunity.
Yeah, some of those things you can drive. That luck, you can drive yourself by just putting in the work. Jasmine Mangmang, I think Koleka Putuma had posted this very beautiful video of, I think she's a poet, Jasmine Mans or Jasmine Mangmang. And she was speaking about the inspired artist and the craftsman. Or
Yes. Yeah.
It's exactly that. It's a combination of putting in the plan and working at it throughout so that the inspiration finds you working, that, you know, we make money, but it's coming from different points, not just 1.5 from a pop art. Yeah, but then it can be 10,000 from the what to what, 15,000, 100,000 from the research. Because artists are the most talented people, like Siyangisa. But we underplay our value. We don't know our value. And this thing you're going to humble yourself, Buffett, that thing is shame. We walk like this. We're in spaces and we're not even wanting to be seen. We think, I don't know what we're scared of. And I think now is the time to really just be bold about what we bring to the table. Heck.
You make me want to sit with my chest up, you know, like part of that thing is about the posture. You know, it's about how you're carrying yourself in the world, you know, like if you're constantly like this, that's what you're going to project,
right?
We
can tell what you are saying to yourself. We can tell.
When
the sponsor is in the room to come and watch the first showing, and Ekibo, Buffett Ego, Printolo, that thing, I was like, no, I've been clear.
Menzi, do you think artists respect creating relationships enough? And how can we develop this in our artists?
Do you think artists respect creating relationships enough? I think as people generally, relationships are showing us flames.
Yeah.
We make it about ourselves and not enough about the other party. You know what your love language is, but you could never be able to articulate the love language of the other. So, ungena with your own interest in this relationship. And when those are not met, you both struggle through that thing because you think you're on the same table or on the same page, but you are not. We see this with how we engage with audiences. We impose what we want to say to them and are upset when they don't receive it in the way that we had hoped they would engage. We are upset when they don't come to these venue spaces, right? We're upset when they give us feedback and they say, I didn't get it. I don't like it. It was expensive to come here. It's too late for me to come here. I have children, sorry. I don't have money, sorry. So the relationships we have amongst ourselves, it permeates into other spaces as well. And I think that it's that two-way thing. You know, a lot of artists will write to us and be like, please connect me to Kanye West. What are you going to give Kanye West? Why must Kanye West now stop all his emails and listen to you? Please connect me to that gallery space. I want to work with them. Yeah, what are you bringing to the gallery space? What would they gain from working with you? And people aren't able to articulate that because they know what they want from that gallery space. Yeah, please connect me with Billy Lang. I want to... Yeah, but why must Billy stop what Billy's doing? To listen to you. And it's that thing of just pausing kancane on you, really studying the person you're wanting to engage with and really making that compelling case to them about why they must engage with you. Because I will stop whatever I'm doing to look at your proposal if there's something that makes sense to me or if it's something that is of interest to me. But if you don't make that apparent from the get-go, I wonder why we're in this conversation. And it takes me a while then to listen and even to want to buy your product, to engage with you, to support you. So I think it has to be reciprocal. It has to be. You have to pause on you, kancane. Like when you're listening to people and you insert yourself in that thing, it's not about you all the time. And I think that once we do that, we'll start to engage with the world in a very delicious way, because we would know ourselves so well and we would know our place in different spaces so well, and we'd be able to start to sustain and to diversify those relationships.
Boom. You know, you're articulating so well, you know, something that I was thinking about, mentorship, and I didn't have the right words to tell the people who were looking for example, someone's contact or trying to get you to connect them with someone because they think you know these people. And what I was essentially trying to get across was, you know, you want this person to take their time to develop you, sorry to use that word, but what are you bringing to them? What is it that is that they're going to gain from that exchange? It should be an exchange at the end of the day. It shouldn't just be a sense that I'm coming in to suck your talent and then I'm going to go off and become a star and then call myself self-made. Right. So, you know, you're articulating it so nicely to say that, you know, if we don't learn how to, you know, develop an interest in others, then we're screwed. You know, there's no way we're going to learn how to build relationships without thinking about that, because it's really just about a conversation between two others, you know, and you want to be the center of it. And it's just like, okay, why am I here at the end of the day?
Also, there's too much competition. There's too much competition for our own attention. Like when I log off here, there's too many things I could be doing.
Sure.
So you need to stick.
And
to
it's the clear what those things are doing for you as well, right?
Yeah, that's why I would choose the thing that I choose to do in that moment. But also there's competition in a literal sense. Like you want to get mentorship from the CEO of Facebook. There's a million people waiting for that response in their emails. how else can you find a way to get that person's attention? Secondly, the thing that you want mentorship on is just for you to sit there and look cool with this person, because this person might be like, I was watching this Insta live where the lady was like, guys, I share everything online. Everything you want to know, it's online. Google, literally, you will find literally those things. Where now you just want to look at me in the face. And, if it's not knowledge that you're looking for and it's connections, you want me to connect you to people, that's a separate conversation. But nakona, there are many other people waiting for that opportunity. And it's something that I learned, because Lerona, there are things you want to do, there are people you want to work with, there are people that you want to engage with. And sometimes you just need to have a plan in mind so that when that opportunity comes, you can jump on the plan. Yeah. But you're not jumping to be like, hi, Zanele Mahola, can I work with you? You are clear, babes. She's worried about her exhibition and getting to London and Amsterdam and whatever, and her brand. So be clear also how you are going to approach that person, and know their politic and know what they're clear about. And you know what I mean? Study the person and make sure you approach them in a way that makes sense to them. And I know that it feels like, manja, you must stalk the person, but you can't just arrive and be like, hey, yo.
Here I am.
I'm so and so. You also need to know that, like, askisi, but like, to deviate kancane, one thing that I'm learning is seeing people who come for job interviews, for example, and Mutu will be in a job interview for, let's say the gig is like, we want a facilitator. And then the person will tell you about, I've worked with so-and-so, I've worked with so-and-so in the, and it's just like, abubani labantu labo. Like, who are those people? Yes, they rock komaboneng, and maybe they rock in that small circle, but the person who you are talking to doesn't know who you are talking about. So it's getting on that same page and really making sure that you know who you are talking to. You can't go to a film audition and then bring something for an administration job. You can't go to a theater audition and bring like a, know what you are there for and what you are asking, and tweak the application presentation, whether it's the verbal presentation or the document, for that particular thing, for that person, for the reader, for the listener.
Know who the reader is, right?
Know who the reader is. Know who the audience is.
Know your why, essentially. Sure, sure. Okay, so let's
pick. Why.
And know their why.
As well. Yeah.
Absolutely. Just a point on two things. Okay, I hope I can remember both of them. The one thing is that, you know, in one of the classes that I teach about writing, we were looking at, you know, just the history of like story and the history of theater. And if you look at definitions of it, it depends how you define theater in order to get a sense of what the origins are. So if you're defining it by the conventions that the Greeks used, then they were the first. But if you're defining it by the conventions of performativity and theatricality, then it comes back to the African continent, right? And if we look at how it was used in that sense, it was about, you know, cultural and ritual performance. It was about what can we unearth within the person to allow them to learn the things that they need to learn to navigate the world in the way that they need to do. And the Western primes the idea of the fact that, you know, art is commodity. So how do we... And now we're in a world where, you know, hegemonically, we're navigating the world through the idea that comes from the West, right? Where art is no longer just about, you know, the cathartic. It's no longer about just making people feel good. I mean, there are people who still use it for that. But as artists, we have to face this question of, you know, creative economies and turning a profit. So I think, you know, I would like for you to just comment on how you think we can make that kind of mind shift that gets us to move from, you know, the sense of, you know, the passion and the, you know, the spiritual and, you know, the cathartic to the, you know, how are we communicating the value of this thing such that we are able to then, you know, build a company off of it, you know, how are we taking that which is valuable, right? That which does have a value. That which actually does have that, you know, that implicit kind of value that has, you know, it's that after sales, you know, going back to the place where you did the applied theater thing to ask, you know, how are you guys dealing with this thing? We did a play about this thing here, you know, is it having any kind of impact, you know, in this day? So maybe just think about, you know, or comment on you know, how do we make that shift from, because I feel like we're still in that space where, you know, the art is about the sacred and, you know, the sanctity and, you know, getting in deeper. And I'm not saying it's not, I'm just saying that now the time is requiring us to behave differently. It's requiring us to learn how to leverage that and, you know, start living off of it, you know. So any thoughts there?
My thoughts are that all of that is valid.
Yeah.
All of that exists in this body of knowledge that we have. We have a point of reference, be it the cathartic or the economic or the what, right?
Yeah.
You make your own decision. You contribute. Make an input into this body of knowledge. Let's evolve together. And I think in university, if you do like a paper, they ask you, what are you contributing that's new into this body of knowledge?
Sure.
But not enough people are contributing to that body of knowledge because we're too scared and we want, and sometimes we just conform because it's safer to do that. This time that we are in is forcing us to disrupt, unpack everything and to relook at it in different ways and to find what works for you. So I'm more about, what does this moment present for your art, for your collective, for your journey? Is this leading you into a space where you're needing to formalize this thing a little bit? Yes. If that's a yes, then yes, let's. Or is this forcing, because other people are getting, you'll find that others are clear on the commercialization of the art.
Yeah.
And I maybe need to relook again on process, on the why again, on the how else can we do this thing and what is also becoming natural, a natural progression from what we've been doing. Others have been too protective over this thing, and it's been this, you know, you want to keep it pure and you want to preserve it. And now this time, what was that thing you posted on your Instagram, evolve or repeat? I get now it's asking you to keep that, but to also be open to what else could it reveal about your own journey, about the collective journey, and what else, right? So I don't want to police that, and I think that they're all valid and you can have that. The one thing I will say is that if you're choosing to keep it as the sacred and the thing that, you know, should not be exploited economically or whatever, be clear that is the choice that you are making. And if you want to eat from this sector, find other things then that you can eat from, right? Equally so, if you want to make money and you are killing it in their money, don't feel like a sellout. Do your thing, babe. Yes. Lean into that thing. Don't apologize.
Yeah.
And if you are doing like a mix of both, even that is valid, right? I think now it's about experimenting individually and collectively, but contributing to new ways of creating, new ways of existing and new ways of working. And it'll make sense as we do it. But to police it, and to block it and to limit it, I think is a bit dangerous because you're gonna have to evolve at some point. And the other thing is, again, that conversation about confidence and whatever decision you then make for yourself, stick to it, my babes. I was gonna say earlier that I needed to make that decision. I realized that I'm not gonna make money out of this acting thing because it's not reciprocating. You know, I'm searching for the light, but the light is not searching for me. So I needed to know how to build a light and then to shine the light on myself. And now I can teach others to build their own light and
dance in your own light.
On their own. Yeah, because Dr. Emela, Market Theatre, you cast it until Ning.
Yeah.
And SABC, you until Ning. It's not going to happen, you know? Or it's not going to happen in the way that you thought it's going to happen. I engage with these spaces now in a different way. Yes, I'm not going for an audition and performing on their stages, but I can contribute to the policy that's determining the budget, you know?
Yes, girl. Thanks.
What I'm saying is that there are multiple possibilities, and if you want to get stuck in one way, and unfortunately, you're all having to evolve, guys. Like, but I think it's just that the why are you choosing that route? Because you also want to do something that is not meant for you. You want to know that you can stand by it at the end of the day.
I think what when you're speaking, you know, and Menzies also saying it all boils down to confidence. I had this question, and I think maybe that's the answer. You know, why are we so intolerant of each other? You know, like even beyond, you know, just like people outside of our spaces within, you know, like sure, practitioners versus academics versus the business versus, you know, whereas if these different entities are to come together, ideally, if you can get one of each of these people into a room together, you know, you should be able to come up with something that is, you know, defying of you know, the space that we're in. But, you know, it's so difficult to just, you know, get these different elements to meet and mix in the same space. And which I think it's a problem, particularly because of the moment that we find ourselves in. I wonder if it's okay and everyone is able to build a career and function without others, then it's fine. You know, we can hate each other until we're blue in the face. But if the very survival of the industry that we're playing in, you know, depends on us laying down our guards and getting rid of this idea of ego, then if we don't do it, you know, what are we really saying about our prospects? You know, the long-term prospects of doing this thing in a sustainable kind of way. I just think it's kind of counterintuitive, like the way that we don't tolerate each other. Like, I'm not even saying we need to like each other, but like the tolerance of seeing the value in what another brings into the space, despite the fact that you guys maybe can't share a coffee together, you know? And
that's
I think
it's projecting the conflict that is happening and the lack of self acceptance that you are experiencing. The most successful people, Mina, that I've been watching in these spaces are the most generous people. It's people who trust that there's an abundant an abundance in who and what they bring to this space. And you see them sharing contacts, sharing ideas freely, sharing, being open. And I'm not saying now you must share your IP and what and your ideas, but I'm saying you can see people who operate and vibrate from, like a Kucho, for example. Kucho can work anywhere because she knows what she brings to the table type thing.
Sure.
But if you're
sure.
still holding on to, hey, this is mine, then babes, we can see when you're projecting and then blocking and policing other people, right? Other folks out there who are trying. The second thing that I wanted to say to that is we also can't talk for too long, right? Because end of the month, yatla, and you need to eat or life is moving. So whilst we're figuring it out, let's start that new thing. Like, and then you will be the person 10 steps ahead of us. We also can't wait. Like, I realized very quickly that if I'm going to be in this arts management space, then I'm going to hoy and I'm going to do my best and I'm going to have the most fun in this thing because I'm choosing this. And I've seen how that self-acceptance that happened very quickly, or no, this is my lane. Let me innovate here. Let me play here. I've seen the benefits of that. The third and most important point that I want to make is, guys, creativity is a common denominator across people. We're not unique. Like, we are not unique. We're seeing now, have you seen TikTok? The creativity that is on there. That is the big, if we were doing a SWOT analysis, the creative sector.
Yeah.
The fact that the thing that we hold on to and the thing that we think is so precious and so specific to us is actually the thing that is available across. People who are doctors and engineers and pilots are making money off of creativity. When Usamelele agent, hi Baba, it's not gonna happen. Bazo, they're gonna find you there and they're gonna go. Like they've already gone. You've seen content creators online who are flipping creative, bruh. And they don't spend too much time thinking about it. Like they're creating. When usamelen, is script sakos who sends the ganjan. Ay, Baba. Let's go, Buffett.
Let's go,
Buffett. And find the thing that's gonna make you the unique artist. You know? What is that combo? What is, I need in business, but USP. What is your
USP?
So that when you are standing with 15 people, why must they choose you? Because there are people who do the creativity thing over the weekend, but are killing it. The people whose parents said to them, the art must be the plan B. The art is now becoming the plan A because they've gotten those degrees.
Hello.
And it's your plan A. What is the plan B, C, D, E? Because if everyone has art as a plan, general, as a common what else? And that scares me.
That is scary. And I think it's a nice way to go into you defined yourself as a slasher. How did you come to this? Can you talk about, you know, what that means to you to be a slasher?
I'm a multi-hyphener. Yes. It's not a new concept at all. And it's something that I think was coined, I don't even know when, to describe somebody who wears multiple hats. I think all of us as artists can resonate with that because we have been forced to wear multiple hats. But I think I'm very intentional about introducing myself as a slasher because I realized that it's the thing that I bring into the room. The fact that I'm a mom, the fact that I'm a performer, a trained performer, playing in arts management, in research, in emceeing, in facilitation, in facilitating dialogue. You know what I mean? I bring all of that into the room, and it's important for me to remember that. Again, it's the story I tell myself is that I am that. I bring all of that. So even when I put a price, I need to remember that this is what you bring to this table, and the networks you bring in, you bring to the table as well. But the slasher also means somebody who's interested in disrupting spaces, disrupting.
So there's also the slashing of the verb, actually to slash. Okay. Yeah.
Now you must know Guti, you showed up. And if something is uncomfortable and if something does not make sense, you can raise your hand, you know. And if something needs a complete overhaul, we do that, you know, or at least you plant a seed about that. So I like this thing of being able to ask questions, to ask the why, but also to ask the who and the where. Who's in the room? Why are those in the room in the room? Why are the people who are not in the room not in the room? That's how I got the job at BASA. I asked, why are your events, your database, it's always these people. Who else could you include in these conversations, you know? And why are you closing those people out? Why are you closing people like me out? You know, what does that mean? What does that have to do with anything? And being able to drive that and to facilitate that. So
that's amazing.
I bring a lot of all of that into the room, and I'm aware and I'm no longer apologetic. I think I was for the longest time because I wanted to be the performer, and people would ask me, "Sikubona nini kuphi kuphi?" And it's just like, no, babes. Maybe it was actually just to attain a tool, a confidence, a way of thinking and being, but to apply that in different spaces. And I find that that is giving me quite a lot of joy and responsibility. But like I say, I can create my own stage and put a spotlight on myself without having to change who I am and without having to speak a particular way. And to reflect that back to others who think that they need to change themselves, you know, but about Sheva and they're like, oh, head of programs. It's, no, that's just a title. It's actually a responsibility to make sure that you don't have to leave Tabanchu or Mahikeng to come to Johannesburg to make it. You can make it where you are. You can disrupt where you are. You can do whatever you want to do where you are.
Man, that's so beautiful. Can we bring in just some of the comments? Such gems. Thank you to me.
Thank you.
Menzi says it all boils down to confidence and power and self-awareness. Machamela says we are all taught to eat each other for survival. Even when we are aware, we hold on to narratives that kill us as a collective. Also, we can't collaborate. We can't want to collaborate only when it suits us. Menziara, execute. Momo says, hello. Philo says, yes, but it's a Khoaga Friday.
I mean, it's your Sukhua, Mr. PhD, it's your Sukhua. Even me, I was like, oh, teacher.
I'm just a teacher. I'm just a student. But yeah, I think maybe this is a nice time to also talk about you. You have a master's, right? Master Tumi with a Y. And I'm interested in, you know, what did you do research on? What was your study about?
Okay, so my title of my paper was called From Liking to Actually Attending, Audience Development for Independent Theatre Makers in Johannesburg.
Listen, where can we access this? First of all, before you unpack it. No, for real, please email it to me or something, because I'd love to read that. But please go for it, unpack it for us.
So, I mean, I must say, like, my supervisor actually said this in public, like, Tumi, you know, you weren't the smartest kid in the room.
Wow. Chimneys.
But you finished top of the class. Not top of the class, but you finished, there were two of us who finished the course. You know, so you cook a deal. And how the topic came about, and the reason why I'm mentioning this is to say that I'm not an academic. I like sharing my paper is a very difficult thing to do. I speak better about that research than I write about it. But I enjoy seeing students like Maumata Ama exams, Motswatsi 2016. I'm just like, yes,
we want to say, we want.
But like I said to you earlier, I was really in, and at that time we were doing thanks, like it was popping, it was really fun. We were growing and evolving, and it was really amazing. And one day we posted a video, and that video gained like 100,000 shares, views, wow. 100,000 views on Facebook. Yeah. And we were so sure that the next day Pop Art is going to call us and be like, guys, there's no space. And then, you know, we had a show during that time. And then, like, I was so excited, like, I'm a fan, we reached 100,000 people. And then I think there was just the normal, how many people go to Pop Art? Like the normal 30, you know? Yeah. We had like 14,000 likes. Back then we were killing it because the social media thing wasn't big. And then I was just like, what is that? What is that gap? Why would somebody engage with their work online, love it, share it? But then when you say come to the theater, that's a whole different story. What is in between that? What are the barriers? What are the key drivers or motivations for them to leave the online space and to come to a theater space? And I started to research other theater companies as well. And I realized that was the case. Online, we were gaining traction and driving conversation. And we were actually diversifying our portfolio quite rapidly. Mm. Ay, Marababa, the theater wasn't reflecting back.
Yeah.
That engagement. So I think it was really just understanding what motivates an audience to come to a show and what prevents an audience member to come to a show. Who are these audiences that we are talking about? What are they all about? Yeah. What is this theater thing that we are presenting to society? Why are we doing that? Why are we doing it in the way that we do it? Why are audiences engaging with us online and not on stage? What is that? And it's been so fascinating just understanding just consumer behaviors, understanding Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah, because I was going to ask about what methodology you might have used to start looking at those questions.
Yeah, so the main framework was Maslow's hierarchy of needs, something that I came across in EMS in grade whatever. And it just made so much sense because I needed to understand, like, can we flip it on its head? Can we use the theater space as a space to self-actualize,
to a point where
we can build the physiological needs? Or do you absolutely have to cater to the physiological needs
physiological safety and security?
Up?
Sure.
Yeah, before we
Yeah.
climb up. And it was interesting because it was a mix of the two, but fundamentally, and I use this example a lot of the times, is that you have a Soweto theater in Soweto, you have the mall next door. When I get off the taxi, where am I gonna go? Am I gonna go to self-actualize, or am I gonna go and buy clothes and
Is the
food and,
other thing. Yeah.
and pay my electricity bills? And if you get my attention, does that space allow for people who look like me and sound like me? Will you accommodate me? Or will the theater folks look at me funny when I laugh or when I make a comment during whatever?
Yeah.
The theater show,
Yeah.
what then
Yeah.
happens to me,
Yeah.
etc. Excuse me, my phone is ringing. So, yeah, it was just finding out the who, the where, and the why. And it was quite shocking to know that people don't necessarily want to come to the theater if they don't have to. People come
Yeah.
to the theater, but they don't feel safe. They don't feel like they belong in that clique. People find theater intimidating. And I'm making a general point here. People in
Sure.
one kind of homogenous
Absolutely.
group and
Yeah.
they're not. And I
Yeah.
make that point in my research. But just to burst that bubble a little bit more, to think about, to get me to the theater, you need to understand that full journey. From a psychological, social, economic, and a physical perspective.
Can I please get a coffee just like to peruse?
I'll
Not
think about it. I'll
anything.
think about it. I'll think about
Yeah,
it.
but I mean if we're to go with what we've been saying, right?
But
I
just focus on, don't focus on the academic writing. Just hear
don't tell
me
me
for a
what to
second.
focus on. Allow me to
Just
experience
be
it
empathetic.
Look, man,
Empathetic.
I think that there's really something within you that is you think in such a way that you try to find solutions, and maybe that's like I'm making it very basic, but like I think about research in that way, in the same way that we speak about entrepreneurship. I think of research in that way. You know, you need to identify a need and then figure out how that need is going to be filled, right? So, you know, the fact that you took it from that perspective is amazing. Menzi says, to that 100,000 view story, failure is beautiful. I love it. We grow after the fall, not before. I admire your accomplishments, sister. And then
Thank you.
Majamba says, you can't even look to Soweto Theatre for self-actualization. It's even facing away from
Soweto
the
folks were like, what is this thing? Who brought it here? Why did you bring it here? Why did you bring
people.
this thing?
Oh my goodness. And
And
then
there are
Menzi
many
says,
things we've done. There are many
yeah.
things we've done and imposed on people and then thought, but it's so beautiful. And they're like, yeah, but you didn't ask us.
Okay, like we didn't want
If you
this.
had involved us, we would have told you what we
Yeah,
like. If you had
yeah. How
listened, you would have
yeah.
heard and known.
Yeah. Menzi says theater audiences are dwindling all over the world, a quote by Peter Brook from The Empty Space. Oof. Oh, man, it's a lot to think about. Maybe my final thing that I'd like for you to meditate on and think about and talk about is, you know, the idea of youth and policy. Because I perceive or I feel within myself, I struggle to get interested about the conversations that are at a policy level simply because of how they are conducted. And, you know, it just feels like it's that thing of feeling like I don't feel like I belong in that space, whereas I should be informing, you know, the sector, you know, because I do have ideas and I'm a player within the sector, but I don't feel like I belong to the conversations that are about policy. So, you know, how do we bridge that gap, and bring, you know, people like myself, not young artists, but young people in age who happen to be doing art, to make them interested about, you know, the policy space.
The policy space is similar to the academic space because you need to be able to engage in a particular way, and it's
Yeah.
intimidating if you aren't able to participate in that way. I am that one person. I used to sit on the board of Arterial Network, and one of our mandates was to make policy sexy. But what I have been struggling with, and young, it keeps me up at night because we would set up these events and invite people to come and engage, and we'd have experts to unpack policy and to really help us, you know, understand it a little bit more and see how we could then engage and influence it. But I realized that, again, we were selling it in a way, or maybe we were communicating about it or marketing it, you know, excuse me, in a way that was attracting the converted or the people who were already engaging with it. So number one, I think there are already conversations around policy that are happening, and I think people need to, the people who are running those spaces and networks need to make an even greater effort to ensure that we let people know about those spaces, and that those places require more voices in the room. Alternatively, we need to start other spaces. We need to drive our own kind of networks where we can be very clear that we are wanting to understand this thing and are wanting to unpack this thing and then to contribute to this thing. I've seen it in other countries where, you know, young people between like 15 and 18 are able to directly influence what goes into a policy that potentially says things like, in a theater space, you need to have like a minimum of 3 young people in your staff count or whatever. So policy right now, we're just looking at it at a white paper level, where we're deciding, you know, which councils need to get how much and which institutions must remain or merge.
And I'm just like,
and nothing is boring. So we just need to also understand that policy is not just at that level. It's really setting up taking clear stances about certain things, and then making sure that we have a representation that we trust that can then contribute when there are consultations, etc. Of course, I feel like it won't be possible for us to work on our own, and I say us because I still see myself as somebody still struggling with that policy thing a degree later, and really looking for people who are willing to share that knowledge and who are willing to open those tables to make sure that people understand that we can drive it from an inclusion perspective, from a ability or you know, from a gender perspective, from an age perspective, from a financial, like there's so much that we could contribute to, but we just don't know how. We also don't know who to go to, because the language that is used currently is very specific to the clique that are already playing in that space. It's like the legal language is difficult, you know, and it's specific. So I'm interested in how we break down that language and how we break down those spaces. And there's something powerful about network, right? If you're not in a particular network, you won't get that email that says we're looking for a board member for I Am For Arts. You won't get that email. So diversifying your networks and making sure you're on databases, you know, allows you to be able to see when those opportunities pop up so that you can raise your hand or decide to share it with somebody else. And that's the position that I find myself in now. Like, some of the things that come into my email, I'm just like, surely if so-and-so saw it, they, and that's how I got to where I got to as well. Do you know about a degree covered that says, you know, arts management or whatever? We all know this is being deliberate about diversifying your network so that as and when opportunities arise, you can be part of those conversations. As and when we are looking at the UNESCO Quadrennial Report, you can be in that room, go Pretoria, you know, driving that conversation. When we're talking about whatever the policy is, you are there. I was at a EU something last year, and I'm like, the same people, the same folks. Under 35, Nyana, dololo, you know? So it's us, the under 35s who are in the room, who need to bring in more people into the room and to also share this knowledge and share these skills with each other so that we can, so that it doesn't have to rely on you, because you don't want to be, you know, the only, that we can really just take over and disrupt in a more productive way. I think that, you know, like I said, if I knew that so-and-so is an actor, but they're also interested in whatever, hey, babes, Isa, apply for this gig. Do you want to be on the board of what? Come, you know? And you can see Mike is able to do, Mike van Gran, the skill of bringing people, of starting networks is amazing. And we need more Mike van Grans for things that matter to us. I think we're still a bit scared to show up like that at this point.
Wow. You've shared so much. And like when you speak about Mike, earlier on when we were talking about having spaces where collaboration becomes possible, without having to think about, is everyone okay? You know, I think about what happens at the Center for the Less Good Idea, what Kentridge is doing over there, and then you speak about Mike. And, you know, I think that these examples of, like, individuals who are, you know, living out the ideas in the ways that the sector will benefit, right? Or hopefully the sector will benefit. And I think something that we are struggling with, when I say we, gara batoba, you know, batswana lerena, you know, is that we batswabatsu, is that, you know, we don't have, you know, those examples. And, you know, maybe it has to do with a lot, you know, with history, whatever it might be. But, you know, I think, you know, looking at the future, you know, we need to develop that kind of mindset at the very least. Not to say that we need to buy into the same kind of ideologies, but, you know, the principles of, you know, being able to bring people together and getting people with different strengths into the same room so that you can either make a work of art or to, you know, influence policy or whatever it might be. I think we really need to do that. Man Tsieng is a very prime example, Menzi says, you know, and I think we have these examples.
But maybe we're not celebrating. Is she held? Is she supported? Where is she?
You know, exactly.
You know what I mean? And she's got different challenges that we haven't created spaces to be able to hold each other on, like parenting, mental health, socioeconomic challenges. Somehow we have cultivated a culture where you only need to show up when you're okay or when you're working. And when you're not, go home, stay there, go valley, and come back when you are fine again. We need to be able to change that, soon.
Sure. Nah, we're together. Menzi says she has done a lot for the advancement of creating new space and platforms and bringing people together. All right, we've got about four minutes left. I just wanted to, like, bring some awareness to, like, the awards that you've amassed in, like, the different capacities that you've, like, been playing out in the world. I mean, Malin Guardians, you know, 200. We've got the Chevening. Chevening. Yeah. We've got the Barca Cultural Leadership Award. You know, like, so you are an example that we look to when we're trying to think about how to diversify and not look down upon ourselves. You know, how to not feel like you're selling out when you're doing something that is not traditionally what you had envisioned for yourself. So, as a final question, if you'd like, just a brief few pointers about, you know, like, how you stay efficient and motivated. Is there, like, something that you listen to, something that you, how do you do that?
Phew. So I reflect a lot. I'm an Aries. So reflection is quite my core value. I do that quite a lot. I've been doing that for some time, sometimes too much. But I take time to map out me in the world. And then I deliberately and intentionally follow women and people who display parts of what my success potentially could look like.
Sure.
And I listen and I watch attentively. I also ask questions and I take feedback quite seriously. And I'm open to learning, I think. I've also have cultivated self-acceptance. It took me a while, like I said earlier, just to sit in my own shoes, to accept my own magic, and to accept my own value in the sector and in the world. And I am working towards not shying away, but most importantly, finding spaces where we can unearth that for each other. I raise my hand, Katleho. I raise my hand. When an opportunity comes, I raise my hand. And I don't mind sitting and being the one who knows the least, but I sit and I listen and I take it all in. I apply for things. So the Chevening thing, I've applied for it. I didn't get it. I had a baby. I applied again. The Mail and Guardian thing, I raised my hand. I said, and I put down, it's a hard thing to do, but I put down why I felt like I deserved to be on that list. And yeah, I think that's basically it. Like self-knowledge, self-acceptance, but self-affirmation as well, so that I can believe in what I can, in what I bring to the table, and what I bring to my networks, to my friendships, to people. And
believe in your own magic, man. Sure.
Yeah, I do. I lean into that. It's difficult sometimes, but you need to do that. Nobody's going to do that. I shine a light on myself. I tell myself a very beautiful story about myself, but I also map it out in parts of my life. And I must say, like early in my career, I bumped into a tweet by Oslebu Mashile, and she said, I don't know if she was quoting somebody else, and she said, prioritize your own evolution. I have done that quite aggressively. Yeah, like quite intentionally. Yeah. And I think I've put myself on the list, which is something that most women don't do, most mothers don't do, and most creatives don't do.
Itumelo Motswatswe. Hey, to me with the why. Thank you. Thank you. This was not a mistake that you were first up for season two.
It feels like I'm on the cover of a magazine. That thing of like, you know.
Shout out. Let me take a shot real quick. Nice one, nice one. Thank you so much, Tumi. Thank you so much for making the time, for being so generous with your own experience, for not holding back. I don't think you needed the disclaimer. I think any of the organizations that you're a part of would have been proud to be represented by somebody like you. Please keep on. Your magic is like, it's infectious and it's so encouraging and inspiring. I can't wait for us to do this again, you know, somewhere down the line, and, you know, to reflect on, you know, where we find ourselves in the world. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Sure. Thank you to everyone who's been here, and thank you for holding space and finding my story worth sharing. I really appreciate that, and I really want to encourage us to go there. To really, really go there and to trust and lean into whatever it is the universe is telling you about yourself that you already knew about yourself. Like, lean in.
Disrupt. And on that note, for the slashes, shout out. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
Thank you so much.
Tune in next week to see who the guest is. Just keep following the page. It's going to be amazing. To me with a Y. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. All the best. Thank you for this important space.
Shab. Peace, guys.